Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
Launching a campaign against a fight that is oil rigged, I'm John Davis reporting. When it comes to the fight with big oil, folks in the renewable energy business say it's rigged.
We really believe that oil rigged is an apt description of what the API is doing today.
Bob Dineen, president of the Renewable Fuels Association, describing what the American Petroleum Institute, API, is doing in the debate. He's part of the Fuels America Coalition that has launched a new campaign and a website, oilrigged.com, to fight some of what he says are lies.
They are absolutely trying to rig the debate with misinformation, junk science, and misleading ads, all designed to scare consumers and Congress about ethanol to protect their market share.
Joining him is Growth Energy CEO Tom Bias, who says Fuels America is launching this oil-rigged campaign to counter what's being said about renewable fuels.
As the EPA considers whether or not they're going to backtrack on the renewable fuel standard and hand a huge windfall to the world's wealthiest oil companies, it's important for us to remind everyone just how many ways the oil industry has rigged the system in their favor. They've rigged Washington. In fact, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, in the last 5 years, the oil and gas industry has spent $855 million on lobbyists and campaign contributions, which is more than $1 million for every member of the House and Senate. They've rigged the market by refusing to invest in the infrastructure to sell fuels like E15 or E85, and then demanding to waive the RFS because there isn't enough infrastructure. And they've rigged the tax code. The ethanol credit, the VTEC, expired more than 2 years ago, but now we're in year 101 of the oil company tax breaks. And they've rigged the debate, putting out an enormous amount of misinformation about renewable fuels to deliberately mislead people about the value of renewable fuels.
Bias says the lie that really gets to him the most is the oil company's claims that biofuels raise the price of food.
Biggest lie I've ever heard in my 26 years here in Washington, because actually, according to the World Bank, the number one culprit in rising food prices is the rising price of oil. We don't make this stuff out of sweet corn, canned corn, popcorn, or even candy corn. It's made out of number two yellow corn, which is an animal feed, and all the byproduct is a high-value livestock and poultry feed.
And Dineen outlines some of the myths being put out by Big Oil about the impact for a variety of motors.
They say, for example, that ethanol is bad for engines, and they've got ad campaigns out there saying that. They're referring to E15 without saying so, and they just sort of paint this broad brush about how ethanol is bad for engines, despite the fact that it has been used successfully for decades and is fully warrantied by vehicles. But they point to this one study, the CRC study, that they say demonstrates that E15 is going to wreak havoc with your engine, ignoring the 42 other studies that were done demonstrating that E15 is safe for 2001 and newer vehicles. They've got an ad campaign out there saying that E15 is bad for boats, ignoring the fact that indeed E10 is approved by all marine engines. Again, they're trying to rig the debate so that people focus on, well, E15 is bad for your boat engines. Well, E15 is not approved for marine engines. You know, Vernon Barfield, who is the vice president for the National Boat Racing Association and that association's technical chairman, has stated quite publicly that E10 is great for boat engines. It's better for the environment. And they've been running on E10 for more than 20 years without a single problem. There are no problems with E10 in boats, but you'd not understand that if you just got your information from API's misleading and rigged advertisement.
The Biotechnology Industry Organization's Executive Vice President Brent Erickson is part of the Fuels America Coalition as well and says renewable fuels are the right thing for the country and the planet.
Over the last 5 years, when we've been able to reverse a decades-long trend and actually reduce the amount of CO2 the United States emits, a reduction of about 36 million metric tons in 2013 compared to 2009 in the transportation sector. But everything in the United States is doing from a policy standpoint to reduce carbon pollution. The renewable fuel standard is making the biggest impact by far. And people often forget that the renewable fuel standard is an amendment to the Clean Air Act and that it's the only thing on the books that actually requires mandatory reductions in CO2.
But Erickson says all that good could be undone if the Environmental Protection Agency's proposal for the renewable fuel standard comes true.
If the EPA adopts its proposed rule to lower the renewable fuel content of U.S. gasoline, carbon emissions in 2014 will be 28.2 million metric tons higher than they would otherwise be. And that's kind of a striking thing coming from a White House that says climate change is it's one of its top three priorities. That amount of CO2 is equivalent to adding 5.9 million cars to the road or 7.5 new coal-fired power plants. It's worse than canceling every wind farm currently under construction in the United States, and it's 10 times worse than shutting off all the hydroelectric capacity of the Hoover Dam. So in other words, while U.S. carbon pollution has decreased under the Obama administration, this one proposal by itself, by EPA, would cause such a large increase in carbon pollution that it almost completely wipes out all the reductions in energy-related CO2 emissions in the United States has achieved since 2009. And it's just really hard to imagine why the White House and EPA would take a regulatory approach that would result in environmental backsliding.
Meanwhile, Fuels America just put out a study that shows how good renewable fuels are for the economy. John Doggett, the Vice President of Public Policy for the National Corn Growers Association, outlines some of the numbers.
Ethanol, biodiesel, and other renewable fuels represent about 10% of the nation's fuel supply. And as a result of that, we're seeing oil imports falling to the lowest level in decades. You know, when we produce more locally and buy less from overseas, that means jobs and opportunity for Americans and their families. You know, as this report shows, the renewable fuels industry now supports more than $184 billion of economic output. It supports more than 852,000 jobs and over $56 billion in wages. And it generates about $14.5 billion in state and local tax revenue every year.
But he says it goes beyond just the numbers.
It goes to what's really happening in their communities and happening on their farms and happening with their families. When I talk to corn grower groups, I'll ask them, how many of you had a kid that came back to the farm in the last 5 years that would not have come back to the farm were it not for the renewable fuel standard and the ethanol industry? And I'll get 20, 30% of the room to stand up. And when I get tough farmers come up with misty eyes and say, that's why this is so important, because my kid came back. Not only could I afford to have my kid and his or her family come back to the farm and get them into the operation, but we actually had an economically viable community where we had a movie theater, we had a hospital, the school district is doing well because of the economic impacts of biofuels. That's why it's important to our farmers. It gives them a way to go ahead and pass that farm on to the next generation. And a lot of those farms have been in that family for 3, 4, 5, and 6 generations. And if we can put a policy in place that extends it one more generation, that's really important to farm families across the country.
And Doggett adds that since the ethanol tax credit expired 2 years ago, this is still happening without government subsidies, something that big oil can't claim. While all these groups, the ethanol producers, the corn farmers, and the biotechnology organizations have plenty of facts about how ethanol is not only good for the environment, they also show how it's good for consumers' pocketbooks by lowering the price of gas at the pump. Dineen says, don't just take their word for it. Listen to the petroleum industry's own analyst.
None other than Phil Verliger, an oil industry analyst, his entire career, has recently come out and said that ethanol added to gasoline has a tremendous benefit to consumers, reducing the price of gasoline by between 50 cents and $1.50 a gallon. That's their analysts saying that. But again, they're trying to rig the debate so that we don't focus on the real benefits of ethanol.
Dineen adds that it all comes down to oil companies not wanting to lose any more market share, and Baez says Big Oil sees this as an all-out fight, and so does Fuels America.
We've seen lies. We've seen misinformation. That's why I think you're seeing all of us push back again. Should we have done it earlier? Always. But we're here. We're now. We're not going to put up with this misinformation. If they want to have a debate about the facts, fine. Let's debate the facts, not the fiction.
I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.